Man. All right, it's good to have honorary members, huh? And sang in the choir on Sunday, and Brother Michael is on staff at a church in Illinois, right? Princeville, Illinois. What's the name of the church? What? Princeville Baptist Church. And he's a song leader and youth pastor there. And appreciate them. Enjoy having them here. And I know Mom and Dad really enjoy it. Yeah. So, anyway. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter 43. This will be the last message on the person of Joseph. The person of Joseph. Not the last message I ever preach on Joseph, but the last message in the series on Joseph. I've enjoyed this, and tonight really is probably the message that I would wish everyone would get to hear, not so much because of myself, but just I think you're really going to enjoy the content of this message. It's a little different. I mean, a lot of times in Joseph, we talk a lot about the other things we talked about, but tonight's a little different. Why did when the brothers came down to visit Joseph, when the brothers came down to get food, why did Joseph treat them the way he treated them? I don't know about you, but if I hadn't seen my brothers in, you know, forever, 10 years, 12 years, if I hadn't seen my brother that long and seen my dad in that long, all of a sudden I see my brothers. And it does say that his heart was, I mean, it touched him. But he treated them roughly, the Bible says. And it's just, why did he do that? Why didn't he just, hey, brothers, you know, and I mean, because we know he was a godly man. So it's not like he hadn't already forgiven them. We've already discussed that and preached that. I mean, he believed absolutely what had happened to him had fallen out for good. That God was in complete control. Remember, when his dad died, the brothers came to him and said, Joseph, you know, Dad said before he died not to hurt us. I'm summarizing. And Joseph said, hey, you know, you guys meant it for bad, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. Well, what a tremendous testimony Joseph had. So Joseph's heart was right. So why did he treat his brothers the way he treated them? I think we'll see some of that tonight. Maybe a good answer to it, or a possible answer to that, okay? So in chapter 37, we dealt with the convictions about God's Word. So Joseph had convictions concerning God's Word. When he received those dreams, when he received the dream of the sheaves bowing down to him, when he received the dream of the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him, he understood and interpreted that as God saying to him that one day his brothers would bow to him. One day his mom and his dad and his brothers would bow to him. And he accepted that promise. And so as he was sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites by his brothers, it's one of those things that kept him going because he relied upon the promises of God. And listen, as Christians, we ought to rely upon the promises of God. We preached 7 or 8 messages on it on Sunday morning at the end of last year. I mean, God's promises are always true. He keeps them from beginning to end. God cannot lie. If He promises to supply all our needs, He's going to supply all our needs. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's going to do those things. And so Joseph had an absolute conviction concerning God's Word. And we ought to do the same. By the way, we use this definition, and this did not come from me. This came from Jason Gaddis, the pastor of Southwest Baptist. But I love this. He says, a belief is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. A belief is something you hold on to, as I told you about that zip line trying to hang on. A conviction is something that holds you. It's like getting into a harness and being attached to the zip line rather than having to hold on to the zip line. I was nervous holding on to that zip line going across my dad's pond, thinking, I don't know if my little arms will hold this big old body up. But it did, 3 times. But then Dad talked about putting a harness on it for the winter, but he didn't get it done, and taking us across. A lot of difference between being held up and having to hold yourself up. A belief is something you hold on to. A conviction is something that holds on to you or lifts you up. Amen? And so, absolutely reliable, absolutely truth, absolute promises. God keeps them every time. Chapter 39, we see Joseph's convictions concerning purity. Concerning purity. We see that he was sold into slavery. He was sold to Potiphar's house. And there, Potiphar, and by the way, he rose in Potiphar's house to be the man, the steward, that Potiphar didn't even know what was going on financially in his home. Joseph took care of everything. God blessed him. And Potiphar's wife made a move on him. That's the way I'll summarize it tonight. And Joseph refused and continued to refuse and refuse. And finally, she cried foul. She said that he had taken advantage of her. Of course, we know he didn't. He fled. Joseph had conviction concerning purity, concerning holiness. And we as Christians need to continue to hold holiness and godliness way up there. I mean, it's unbelievable today in Christianity how far standards have gotten, how low they've gotten. I mean, listen, God is way up here. And Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's in the New Testament. That's not even Old Testament. New Testament says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And as Christians, we ought to live holy lives. And that means, you know, you shouldn't have sex till you're married. That means, you know, you shouldn't live outside of wedlock. You shouldn't shack up. That's what it means. We ought to be pure. We ought to be holy. It means you shouldn't, you know, take something from your boss that doesn't belong to you. And on and down the line, we ought to be, Christians ought to be people of integrity, honest. Joseph had a conviction concerning the standard of purity. In chapter 40, Joseph had conviction about God's care in the circumstance. So whenever Potiphar's wife accused him of wrongdoing and he was thrown into prison, and there, Joseph just had a conviction that God was going to take care of him through every circumstance. It's amazing. And he continued to talk about God was taking care of him, or he would interpret a dream and say, "God will interpret your dream." And you could tell that God was still the central focus of his life. No matter what circumstance we go through, God is there. God is there. We're going to talk more about that in a minute, a little bit. And then chapter 41, a conviction. Joseph had a conviction about God's honor. And you notice all along the way, he continually gives God the credit for what has happened in his life and for his ability to interpret these dreams. Always giving God the credit. Honor what honor's due. And we need to remember that no matter what goes on in our life, we should give honor to God for it. And the blessings that we have received, even the blessing of being born in America, the greatest country in the world, that honor goes to God. The Bible says that He appointed the times before appointed, and the bounds of our habitation. That God has determined when we would be born, where we would be born, and He's the one that determines that. We should give Him glory for that. And then tonight, and we're going to have to move along, a conviction concerning God's blessings. God's blessings. Favoritism, we see this throughout the life of Joseph and in his family's life. And we see this in Abraham and Sarah who favored Isaac over Ishmael. We see it where Jacob favored Rachel over Leah. And then we see Jacob who favored Joseph over his other sons. And then, of course, Joseph had his coat of many colors. And by the way, that coat of many colors cost him. Cost him dearly. Favoritism. We see favoritism in families. I already warned our parents and grandparents, be careful about favoring one kid or one grandkid over another. I would tell you to be diligent about it. Be diligent about it. Be very careful. Even though I was a favorite of my grandparents, be diligent about it. I told you that. Me and my papa were really close. We had a lot in common. We both enjoyed, I enjoyed everything that he enjoyed. I enjoyed the farm and farming and mechanicing and just all those things I enjoy. And my brother didn't know what wrench. Is this a wrench? Or is this a crescent? Or is this a socket? Or is this a breakover? Or is this... So me and my grandfather were close. But I promise you, anything my papa ever did for me, he did for my brother. I don't care what it was. Every time he was consistent in everything he did. And so we need to be careful. And so we see a lot of favoritism going on in the life of Joseph and the family there. By the way, the favoritism happens at your workplace. Favoritism happens with teachers. Favoritism happens with referees. Favoritism. Now we find Joseph intentionally favoring Benjamin in chapter 43. Intentionally favoring Benjamin. Why? Why would he intentionally favor Benjamin over the other brothers? You say, well, that's his real brother. Da, 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 da. Joseph was right with the Lord. He was right with God. Why would he do this? So, let's look there at verse 1, chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again and buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. So now we find again that they've become hungry once again. In chapter 42, they've already gone down. And there again, they met their brother. They don't know it. And they were given the corn. They were accused of being spies. Remember, Joseph was rough with them. I'm not going to be able to read it all. But Joseph was rough with them. They came down the first time in chapter 42 to buy food. Joseph recognized who they were. They did not recognize Joseph. He was speaking through them, to them through an interpreter. And he was rough on them. He gave them the corn they wanted. But he said, you cannot return unless you bring your younger brother with you. There were some questions going back and forth. And he kept Simeon, one of the brothers. He said, you cannot come back until you bring your younger brother with you. And so that's happened in chapter 42. In chapter 43, again, they're hungry again. And so Jacob says, hey, go down and get more food. And Judah stands up and says, hey, remember, if we go down, we got to take Benjamin with us. And before, Jacob did not want Benjamin to go down. He did not want to lose his youngest son. He talked about his gray hairs coming down upon him. And so he wouldn't allow it. So Judah just reminds him, Dad, if you want us to go down there, we have to take, we have to take our younger brother with us. And so Jacob finds again that he's not in control of the situation, and he had to send Benjamin. By the way, men don't like to be out of control, do they? What it was like to be in control, whether it's power tools or driving a car or whatever. Judah reminds him again of the words of the prime minister, which they didn't know it was Joseph, to bring the younger brother down. Judah makes the remark that he would be personally responsible for anything that would happen unto Joseph. One of the things I want you to see as this progresses is notice the attitude change with the brothers compared to what had happened when they sold Joseph into slavery. Now, Judah stands up and says, I will personally take responsibility if Benjamin is enslaved or dies in this. So we see in verse 15, look at verse 15, and hereby you shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him... I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Chapter 43. I was in chapter 42. Verse 15. And the men took the present, and they took double money in their hand. Remember, when they left the first time, when they opened up their sacks, their money was in their sack. That's an important thing. I don't want to leave that out. Remember the first time when they came home without Simeon. Simeon's still in the prison in Egypt. They also opened their sacks of corn up, and there was money in it, the money they had paid. So it made they got real nervous. Why is our money back in our bags? And so they brought double money with them this time. And Benjamin and rose up and went down into Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, verse 16, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did so as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men unto Joseph's house. So they're getting ready to enjoy a meal, a lunch, there with their brother Joseph, who they don't know it's Joseph yet. And you'll notice, and we're not going to time that and read, but in verse 18, they're very nervous about being made slaves. He said, why would this prime minister bring us into his home? What is going on here? Wouldn't you be nervous? Especially since the corn you bought last time, your money was in there, So they were nervous that he was bringing them into his house to simply make them slaves and to take all their possessions. And then we find in verse 19 through 22 that Judah and the brothers went to, let's look at that real quick. And they came near unto the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, verse 20, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of a sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." Notice verse 23. Notice what the steward says to him. "And he said, 'Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasures in your sack. I had your money.' And he brought Simeon out unto them." I want to just put across for you tonight, why did Joseph treat his brothers the way he did? And I believe tonight it's because he wanted to test them. You do see a progression with Judah vouching for his brother Benjamin. And here we see an integrity test, and they passed the test. Our money was in our sack. Went to the steward. Our money was in our sack. We don't know how it got there. We just want to let you know that the money we paid you was back in our sack. Instead of making some excuse and going off on it or whatever the case is, money was in our sack. We don't know how it got there. Up front about it. A little scared, but showing that they had matured as human beings and they passed the integrity test. The Bible goes on to say they ate at different tables. The servants, and then Joseph was at a different table, and the brothers were at a different table. Notice there in chapter, we're not going to read it, but verse 23, 24 through 32, that Benjamin was revealed to them who he was, revealed unto Joseph. "This is Benjamin, your youngest brother." They didn't know that he was his brother yet. They were seated according to age as well. So he had, Joseph had the brothers seated according to age, and they all got to look around and go, how did he know who was the oldest and who was the youngest? Then they began to give out the portions to the brothers, the portions for the meal. And Benjamin got five times as much, as the rest of the brothers. Five times as much. I would hope that would be my spot, right? I'm just telling you what possibly could be going through their mind. Why does our little brother get twice as much as we do? They brought out another portion. Why does our little brother get three times as much as we do? What's going on here? I mean, why did Joseph do this? Four times as much. Five times as much. Again, the brothers must have watched and wondered. And I think the question would be, would jealousy rise again? I think Joseph was watching them to see what the reaction would be. Would they, have ill will to their brother for getting a larger portion and whatever the case is? Had they grown in maturity so that, and this is the key tonight, had they grown in maturity so that Joseph could bless them? Had they got to the point where in their maturity as human beings, that they had gotten to the point where Joseph could bless them? And we see they passed the test because verse 34 says, "And he took and sent messes unto them before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times as much as any of theirs, and they drank and were" what? "Merry with him." So apparently there was no jealousy there. Why would Joseph go to all this trouble of treating him differently and treating the brothers the way he did? I believe he was trying them to see how they'd come along. Since they had sold him into slavery, since they had persecuted him, and had they matured in that? Remember another verse, and I didn't read it, but when they met him the first time and they were talking about it, the brothers said, they didn't know that Joseph understood Hebrew. The brothers said, "This is happening to us because of what we did to Joseph." Remember that? I could just see Joseph hearing those words saying, "Hey, maybe my brothers are getting it now. Maybe they've come a good ways. Maybe they've matured." And the key is here that Joseph had the ability to bless them in a mighty way. And they passed the jealousy test. Sometimes I think we fail the jealousy test, don't we? somebody else gets blessed more so than we, and it causes us grief. When a fellow brother or sister in Christ, or even a neighbor or friend gets blessed, you know, does the one-eyed jealous monster arrive, or do you rejoice with them that something great had happened for them? Isn't that good, right? Do you pass the test? Do I pass the test? And here's the key. They passed the test so Joseph could bless them, but we got to pass the test so God can bless us. The brothers had to be tested before they could be trusted. They had to be tested before they could be trusted with the blessings that Joseph, again, had the ability to give them. And they passed the test. And we understand and know from the story that Joseph revealed himself to them. And they hugged and kissed and all those things. And man, they went up and got their dad and brought their dad down. And the Hebrew nation lived in that valley of Goshen, that wonderful, beautiful valley. They lived there for 400 years. And God blessed them immensely. And God blessed them because of Joseph. And then Joseph, I believe, tested his brothers to see whether they had matured to a point where the blessings were worthy of them. I think in this story, again, we must be reminded, by the way, true event, true story, that God is in control of everything. That we serve a God who is sovereign. Jacob was afraid to send Benjamin down with his brothers. And the brothers were afraid because of the money that was in their sacks when they left the first time. Think about that. Worry drives our lives as well. We worry about everything, and they had nothing to worry about. When they got down there, it was Joseph. Joseph had put the money back in their sack. Worry drives us. We have to be careful. We worry about health and finances and marriage and kids and job. And we need to remember that God is in control. Jacob and his brothers didn't have to worry. God was at work. God was at work using their little brother to save much people alive. And no matter what you are going through, what I go through, we must remember that God is at work every time in our lives. Every time. Joseph understood that. His brothers didn't. Not only do we need to be careful about fear and worry, but we need to understand that all of us need a blessing. But in order to get a blessing, we must pass the test. There's going to come a time when you need help, and you've already been there probably if you've lived very long. There's going to be a time in which you need opportunity or you need provision. You need someone outside of yourself, some power outside of your own to work things out. Can I tell you that the Lord's there? But I do believe that we must be very careful in our own lives that we mature to the point in our Christian life where God can bless us. That we pass some tests in our own life where God can bless us. You say, well, God loves us unconditionally. Yes, He loves us unconditionally. My dad, I believe, loves me unconditionally. I really believe that. My Heavenly Father loves me unconditionally. But I can tell you, as a kid and even as an adult, sometimes me and my dad, I have done some things maybe he didn't like so much, and sometimes the blessings got shut off. That ever happened to you as a kid? A teenager? I mean, there came a time the blessings kind of said, Dad said, all right, no more, you know. Still loved me, but the blessings got shut off. And in our Christian life, that can happen. And I'm glad God, in our devotionals this morning with our children, if you're using the Proverbs one by Paul Chappell, he talked about in there this morning, you know, that we must be careful in our own right to understand that God's in complete control, yes, but God is the one who blesses when we put ourselves in a position to be blessed. I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father who loves me all the time. So God looks for evidences in our own life, in our lives, that will allow Him, and so that He can choose to bless us. By the way, so He can choose to use us. To be used of God, you have to put yourself in a position to do that. We've talked about this all the time, that reading your Bible, praying every day, all these things, the basis of Christianity, puts you in a position where God can bless you. Doesn't mean he will, by the way. Not TV evangelist junk going on. You know, you give a 10, God gives you 100. No, it's not found in the Bible anywhere. Now, he says if you give 10, he'll bless you. You know what I'm saying? If you tithe, he'll bless you. But, you know, not crazy stuff. So you do these basics of Christianity. You give, you're faithful, you read your Bible, you pray, you witness to others, and it puts you in a position where God can bless you. Here's a few things that you might think about tonight as far as tests that we must pass. Number one, we see this in the lives of these brothers of Joseph. Take personal responsibility for your actions. Take personal responsibility for your actions. You want God's blessings? Be like the brothers and say, hey, money was back in our sack. I don't know how it got there, but we're owning up to it. I believe many times we need to come to God and just take personal responsibility for my actions. I think so many times we come to God just like our kids do sometimes and just make excuses. Lord, yeah, this is in my life, but you know, this happened. Or, Lord, this is in my life because of, you know, this situation or whatever the case is. No, take personal responsibility. We live in a day and age where people don't want to take personal responsibility. I don't know about in this room whether that's the case, but boy, it's rampant today, isn't it? Everybody wants to blame somebody else, you know? Take personal responsibility for your actions. Number two, make an effort to get things right with those who you have wronged. Again, we see these brothers of Joseph trying to get that thing right, admitting to what they've done and trying to get things right. Listen, just if you've got a brother, the Bible talks about if you have an ought against a brother and you come down to pray and you haven't got that right, God's not going to hear your prayer. That's pretty right down the line, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty harsh per se, but it's absolutely true. If you want to pass a test and receive God's blessings, then you need to be personally responsible, but also you need to get those things right. And even those who you have wronged or whatever the case is, get those things right. Number three, ask the question, are you jealous of God's blessings on others? That's wrong. That's a sin. You know, we ought to be able to rejoice with somebody who drives up in a new car. Really? Now, make fun of them if they drive up in a new Dodge. But we ought to be able to rejoice with them. I do. I want to go out and look at it, man. Show me the bells and whistles. It's awesome. Not as good as a Chevy, but it's awesome, you know. We ought to rejoice when somebody buys a new home. We ought to rejoice when somebody, whatever it may be. I'm using just things that I'm talking about. Somebody has a beautiful voice. We ought to rejoice with them. You know, somebody has the talent to, you know, whatever it may be, rejoice with them. Well, so God didn't give that to me. Well, He didn't. You know? Rejoice with those who can and do. If you can get over the jealousy test, God will bless you. Number four, are you grateful and content with what God has given you? Me and Caleb sat down for some reason. This came up. We were talking about some other things, and I said, you know what? I'm just at a point in my life where, and I really am, I'm content. I am. I'm content with the home that God's given me. I'm content. God's blessed me immensely. You guys spoil me. You really do. I'm content. I think all of us need to get to that place. Whatever state that I am, Paul said, therewith to be content. In whatever position that may be or whatever. It doesn't mean as a young adult you can't strive to, you know, do more in your job and those things. That's not what it's saying. But there ought to come some point where you're content. Amen? And I think most of us in the room would get that. But we need to pass that test in order for God to bless us. Is your life in a place where God can bless you? Have you passed the jealousy test? Have you passed the maturity test as a Christian? Are you growing? Are you going forward? Pass the integrity test? By the way, you will be tested before you can be trusted. You will be tested before you can be trusted with God's blessings. Very easy to illustrate this is, I don't know of any job that you would have where you would not be tested before you got trusted with something. Whatever job you may be in, you may work at 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, but at some point, if you are going to go forward in that job, you're going to be tested somehow. You're going to get the attention of somebody. I'm not talking about a written test, though there's a lot of that going on too. I know my dad's worked the same job for 41 years, and he still periodically, every quarter or something, has to take a test or two. And I'm like, I'm talking more like an integrity test, a jealousy test, some of these areas where a boss is watching you. And I'm telling you, if you pass these tests, God will bless you. I'm not talking about just blessing you in your home life and your family and all these things. I'm talking about blessing you in your job. You know, blessing you with health, blessing you with all these things. God will do those things for you if you'll pass the test. I really believe Joseph had an intention in mind when he treated his brothers roughly, other than just treating them roughly. He was a godly man. I believe Joseph had something in mind when he gave his brother, you know, his younger brother, five times as much. I believe from the Scripture that he was waiting and looking for the reaction of his brothers to see whether they were the same men that had sold him into slavery years before. And from the Scriptures we find they were not, that they had matured. I hope we can look back, you know, 12 years and look forward and say that we have matured, that we have grown in Christ, that we have grown in grace. And then we put ourselves in a position where God can bless us. Amen? All of us to do that. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. Let's sing 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. 118 after we pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for Joseph and the life. Maybe tonight looking at it a little differently as far as how he dealt with his brothers. And I pray tonight, God, that You would just strengthen us, enable us to pass some of these tests in our own life in order that we might be put in a position where You can bless us. Lord, I know You want to bless us. You do not want to withhold from Your children, just as we never want to withhold from our kids. And God, I pray that each of us would look within. Lord, find out if there's jealousy there. Find out if there's some integrity issues there. And Lord, tonight we would take the opportunity to get those things right. God, we thank You that You love us, and that You love us unconditionally. Lord, what a blessing. We thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.